Hello, Pisces, and welcome to Eye of the Centaur for Pisces, Pisces Rising, Pisces Moon, Pisces Chiron, anything with a strong Pisces signature. That's probably you or somebody you care about. And I'm here to tell you about the astrology of the spring of 2024 and into the summer of 2024 and what that is about from your point of view. This is absolutely extraordinary, once-in-a-lifetime astrology. These things happen from time to time, but the confluence of events concentrated within just a couple of months is something like I've never quite seen before. And it is this, it comes with this sense of focus and acceleration and a rearranging of the story that we seem to have been living over and over again for the past few years. And I think we are finally entering into new territory. And I want to tell you a little bit about what that looks like and how to get there. This reading, of course, a step beyond, somewhere in between the 2024 annuals, which I was recording a little bit over a month ago in a different town, a couple of miles south of here. I'm in the Planet Waves office today and working on Monday, the 26th of February 2024. Okay, so first of all, the main event is this concentration of planets. This is the chart for the 8th of April 2024, and there is a whole lot going on here. You'll notice there's quite a bit going on in Pisces. I'm going to talk about this conjunction that I haven't mentioned very much before. Then all of this going on in Aries, including a total eclipse of the sun, conjunct Chiron to the arc minute, and then this conjunction going on in Aries, also Mercury retrograde conjunct Eris, all at the same time, followed 12 days later by Jupiter conjunct Uranus, which you can't really see here, though I will go off the page and draw it in since it's my book and I can do that. There. That's what that really looks like. There you go. Come on, how is this done? All right, good. So it starts in one sign, which is in Pisces, well, Aquarius with Pluto, and then goes and ripples into Pisces, then it ripples into Aries, and then into Taurus, then into Gemini, and then back into Pisces in July. In rapid succession, it does not stop, and the events come so close together, it's going to be difficult to distinguish which one is actually the one that's getting the results. The reality is they're all working together, and we have needed movement and progress and some shift in the condition of society for a long time. I mean, before 2020, I mean, we know that there was a massive effort to destroy something about the world. But the feeling that I had coming into 2020 was that things are out of control and in complete chaos, which reached a new high in 2015 as Trump announced his candidacy in the campaign of 2016, and then Trump taking over in 2017, and just this crazy making bullshit accelerating essentially straight through 2016, clear through the 2020 crisis into the 2021 crisis. And like, where the fuck are we? So that's a good question. And the place where we are, I think, is that we have been overwhelmed with tribal consciousness for a long time. This is the century that we have just lived through, basically starting in 1922 with the advent of commercial radio, unraveling the individuation of the alphabet, which took many centuries to establish itself, and people started becoming individually, inwardly conscious, and then radio takes over, and we're basically reshuffled into this tribal state of being. And for those who have maintained some sense of their own inner being, their own individuality, this is more than a slogan. It's more than a campaign promise. It is a thing that we need to maintain our peace of mind, our interior orientation, and basically our sanity. And I'm here to tell you that that process of detribalizing and re-individuating is available. And one of the first places that it's available for you is, if we've seen this, right? Seen this massive thing that's like pretty wild, will feel even more fun. Is here's the chart localized for Pisces. I'm writing on the back of the winter 91-92 NCGR journal that I didn't know that I had, which is focusing on the topic of Uranian and cosmobiology. That's subjects that are dear to my heart. Okay, so here is the other side with the current Pisces chart put on there. This zone up here is Capricorn. And if you're wondering where all your friends went and where the society that you once recognized went, it went there because Pluto came blazing through there for 15 years. And then there was the Saturn-Pluto conjunction of early 2020, which for everyone was a kind of a demolition derby of society, but particularly for Chiron, particularly for Pisces, it struck deep because Capricorn is your social house, the 11th. And so there's pretty much nothing left of old Capricorn. The king and the queen can try to go back to the green, but they can never go back there again. You just can't go back on certain social realities that unravel themselves. But where you can go is into new frontiers. And though it may seem lonely, though it may seem a little bit antisocial at first, the most important, well, everything right now initially is going in an interior direction. But that reverses soon enough, particularly as you pick up on the basics of what it means to shift your direction of travel internal. And this is described initially by Pluto in Aquarius. That's your 12th place. I don't know if you can see that, but that's the 12th place, meaning a kind of a hidden, veiled, interior zone in the chart. Related to the astral plane because of its association with dreams. Related to the world of, you might say, hidden karma, because the ancestors tend to linger around there, but also a very important inner private sanctuary. And you have Aquarius in this house. And Aquarius is the sign of groups. And your orientation on groups is being mediated and modulated by a totally internal process, as if you contain the groups that you're part of, or that your inner configuration, your inner pattern of what groups that might be, are they are a template that you have in yourself that you then can live out externally. Now, hey, I'd love to see that happen. I mean, that would make me very happy, because right now for a lot of people, the world is dismally lonely, and given the fact that you have Pluto going through your 12th solar house, and if you're Pisces rising your 12th house, you may be keenly aware of that. And it's not just you getting older, it's not just COVID, which was digital. It's a lot of different factors operating. The main one is digital itself, not the various products and results for digital, but the fact that people's consciousness is changing, and it's changing in ways that alienate them from themselves. And your consciousness is changing in a way that brings you closer to yourself. And we're going to see that closer to yourself function in every one of these stories told in these different houses. It's essentially the same thing all over again. And so All I can say vis-a-vis Pluto is in Aquarius is pay attention to your own ideas about what you want to do with your life socially. Something historical is gone, something past is gone, but there are other possibilities, including understanding the best of what you may have experienced in previous times. But what is it that you want? What would your ideal social situation look like? And what would be your personal relationship to the other people around you? Would it be an active role or a passive role? Would it be a leadership role or more of a following role? Would it be participation on the level of committee? Are you more into informal structures? Like a cocktail party or semi-formal structures like the Junior League or very formal structures like the Freemasons. What's your flavor? So remember though that the direction of travel is your internal experience beginning to describe an external experience that is taking shape and taking form. So now we get into your zone, your sign Pisces, which I've sketched out in an orange pencil here. And I'm identifying three factors in Pisces. The longest term factor is Saturn. That Chiron there is not supposed to be Chiron. Excuse me while I just redo that. I'm not using a mouse. I'm using a whiteout. Excuse me a second. Okay. I don't like mistakes going into charts. There's some part of me that's like the, it's a certain esoteric thing. So we've just faded out Chiron there. That's not supposed to be Chiron. Let's do that now. That's probably dry enough. That's supposed to be Nessus. Nessus in your sign. They're similar energies, but they are different because the two long-term presences in Pisces are Neptune since around 2011, i.e., what I call the 2012 era, and Nessus, which is goes back to shortly after that, approximately 2014. And the combined effect of these two points, one of which is a technically the outermost planet, Neptune, which is kind of a joke, but that's what it's known as these days. Plus, Nessus has been a kind of a fogging over of something. And this fogging over is nerve-wracking because it is difficult to understand the nature of where the things that you say, decide, and do intersect with the consequences of those things. And it has not been easy to put this together. Furthermore, it has been very difficult to maintain a cohesive, coherent sense of who you are and what your role is in the world. Because Neptune has been in your sign for, let's see, 15 years. That's a long time. And Neptune is the very antithesis of the kind of egoic solar, I am, I want, I will do this. I know what this is all about. A certainty that is a very much a thing of the ego's consciousness and a thing of this world. Neptune is the complete antithesis of this. And so it may have seemed very difficult to locate yourself in your own life, to find yourself. But what you may find is that when you start to experience the fog clearing that I'm going to describe in a second, you may have done quite a bit better than you thought you were doing at maintaining a coherent trajectory or course and speed. But the necessity involved in claiming this is going to be if you found that you made bad decisions in the past, no matter how old you are, no matter what your situation may be, to not continue to live with those decisions, to reverse those decisions or make a new decision and not think that you are stuck with the decisions that you made in the past only because it was in the past. So the way out of the fog is going to be in the form of signposts that say, this is new, this is different, and then going in that direction, rather than just staying in what for many people is an extremely comfortable, hazy fog of ambivalence and ambiguity. That is not the time in your life for this is not the time in your life to live in any form of haze, ambiguity, ambivalence, maybe this, maybe that, maybe the other thing, I'm not sure. The factors are all lining up to point you in the direction of who you are within yourself, and then that will likely make it much easier to make decisions that affirm and reify who you are within yourself, to demonstrate to yourself that these qualities and attributes are real. But the only way that you can do that is by having the direct experience of doing so. So the thing that has changed the most recently directly for you is that Saturn has entered Pisces. This was about a year ago. And Saturn's run through a sign is, depending on how things shake up with the retrogrades, 2.5 years, which can stretch out to 3 years, depending on the retrogrades. And so you're not quite halfway through this journey of Saturn in your own sign. And Saturn in your own sign is the best answer you could possibly want to Neptune fogging over your sense of who you are, and Nessus fogging over your sense of how cause and effect work in your life. How exactly it is that certain decisions, choices, actions, and words that you say lead to certain results that may be quite removed from those specific words, actions, and choices that took place in the past. And then suddenly the cycle comes around and it's like, whoa, where did that come from? Well, so Nessus is part of an awakening about that. And I think it's helpful. There's a centaur, Nessus, the third centaur, discovered in 1993, following up on Pluto, Neptune's movement through Pisces, because all that happens after Neptune is happening in the wake of a flood. And if you've ever experienced a flood, I hope you haven't, but if you have ever experienced a flood, the damage is insidious. It is often invisible. And so you may be rooting out all kinds of hidden, concealed damage, and finally you have to pull out floorboards and find out what's going on down there over and over again, and ascertaining what the consequences of certain actions and choices has been for you. And this can include anything related to Neptune. And with anything related to Neptune, we are in the realm of what you may have denied in the past, what may have been conducted under the influence of any prescription or non-prescription mind-altering substance. Now is wake-up time. And the presence of Saturn in Pisces is here to kind of squeegee off all of known reality, to get all the bird poo and bugs and dust and grease and grime and rain and mud off the windshield, so that you can actually see, and more accurately, tangibly experience the nature of your life right now. So Saturn, there's two ways to describe an opposition concept to, many ways to describe an opposition concept to Neptune. And one of them is that it has a way of being ego dissolving. And so we have an egoic aware consciousness that comes through the sun, but that's not exactly your style. Even though your sun is probably in Pisces, that has a it's not as easy to have a huge ego with the sun in Pisces as it is with some other signs. And if it is, that is often fueled and inflamed by doubt. We're going to get to doubt in a second, but Neptune may have put quite a bit of that into your mind. The other is the tangibility factor of Saturn that contrasts with the dissolving, intangible, indescribable, nebulous, numinous quality of Neptune in Pisces. And look, we've all been overwhelmed by this, but especially you. I mean, this is a huge, liquid, gaseous, stormy, destabilizing presence, and you've been living with this for 15 freaking years. So the arrival of Saturn at this moment is, meaning in this era, very helpful because it is giving you something solid to grasp onto. It is providing the sense of some kind of mooring or platform at sea, or a Coast Guard vessel arriving, or seeing an island for the first time, and being able to get yourself there and explore that. But that is an island within your own consciousness. So pay attention for those solid objects that you can kind of climb up on and get a little bit better view of the horizon. Now, Saturn is going to be in Pisces for as long as Neptune is in Pisces. When the two leave Aries, they leave Aries together and form a conjunction in Aries. Now, before that happens, there's going to be this thing that I began the discussion of in somewhere in between. And that is that, circle in blue, Chiron and Nessus are going to form a conjunction in July. It's a near miss, within 1 degree, but not exact. And the nature of this conjunction, in my view, is going to be to bring you up to date on all that you have to do to address consequences of past choices without forcing your hand. And then you're going to have 6 or 7 months to clean things up, tidy things up, get clear, and make decisions and make changes that stretches out to February of 2025, when there'll be more of a sense of, okay, this must be done now. But hopefully all this astrology I'm continuing to describe through this eminently personal angle of your chart, these houses are all for the most part, all of the interior zones in the chart. The chart tends to get more public as you go around counterclockwise, right? Each successive house is a slightly larger space. Third has a weird exception. This hemisphere here is the external hemisphere, and this hemisphere here is the internal hemisphere. And so when we're talking about this approximate quadrant of the zodiac, it's as interior and internal as it gets, with one exception of the third house, which has a kind of a Marconi wireless room in it where you can broadcast from, telegraph, and send and receive messages, but they're local personal messages and local personal commerce. We'll come back to that. So one of the great things about Pisces that you have is that you have Aries in the second place. Let's go in a little bit closer. The second place is the house of values. It is the house of values, means the foundational principles that lead you to have priorities. Excuse me. Not everyone connects their values to their priorities. This is a fucking problem. You can have all kinds of values and all kinds of ideals, and you're very idealistic for a number of reasons, but people have all kinds of values and ideals and things they profess, things they say they're going to do, and things they say they believe in, but they are not very often connected to their priorities. But with Aries, there's an urgency to have, when you have Aries in the second, to hold your priorities and your principles and your values and your choices that you make in alignment. Now, Aries is a kind of a core element of I am. With Chiron in Aries, the question is reversed into, who am I? Chiron's been in Aries since 2018. So there's been this rumination of, who am I? What am I worth? What is my value to myself first? And then the community, meaning any community in any form you want, clients or some such thing, neighborhood, world. What is my value to these people? Now, the important part of connecting them matters a lot more if, you know, if, for example, you want to make a living doing something that is truly appropriate for you. And I've only, so you have to connect what's a value to yourself with what's a value to the community. And this is not that easy, because it's very difficult for people right now to figure out what their priorities are and what's important to them. And there are a lot of things that used to be intuitive, natural elements of the flow of value and values and expression that now need to be reconceptualized owing to the challenge and the problem of full digital conditions that we are in. So all of this self-esteem, self-respect is being mediated in the second house. This is for everyone. It has other points of expression. Pisces often struggles with self-esteem. There's a struggle of finding one's value, but I would argue that struggle is in a lot of ways some kind of a holdover or hangover, that is in a lot of ways an illusion. And the reason I say it's an illusion is because with Aries on the second place, you are likely to have a very clear sense of who you are. You're likely to have quite a bit of tenacity. You are likely to have a natural instinct for how to make or manifest money. And part of that is because your identity is placed in, I think there's a locus of identity in every chart where we find Aries, whether you're an Aries or not, no matter who and what you are, in the metaphor of astrology, the location of Aries is going to tell you about an anchor point. And the anchor point of Aries lands in your chart in the house of self-esteem and the ability to concentrate resources based on who you are. And this, you have been aided and abetted in this by Chiron, you arriving in 2018, and you have been a combination of scrambled and assisted by Eris having been in this location all your life. You don't know anything else. Eris arrived more than 100 years ago, so there's really very few people left walking around on the planet who have Eris in Pisces. If you're a centenarian, you might. Okay, so I'm describing some activity in Aries right now. This intersection of values, value principles, and so forth. This is what's really going on in Aries. It doesn't, my simplified chart is simplified for a reason. I can't fit all this in. It wouldn't make any difference, but here's the enlarged version. So you've got something going on here. There is something that you are after. And this is essential to recognize this. And there is a recovery operation in action. A recovery operation is like going to the bottom of the ocean and finding something down there that was sunk, or that recovering something that is hidden, is not where it belongs, and you're going to find it in yourself and bring it back where it belongs. There used to be this thing called soul retrieval. It looks a little bit like that, but this is more like values and principles retrieval. And there is a very strong counterwind to the chaotic values principles, so-called, of the digital age, in the form of this conjunction between Mercury and Eris at the time of this total solar eclipse on April 8th. This is the chart for April 8th. And so you are in a massive wake-up, reality check, beckoning, summoning, to get handle on why you exist and who you are as an active quest for who you are and not a set of assumptions or I'm exactly like myself because I'm exactly like them. This is the hilarious new form of individuality. Be an individual, think like everyone else. Anyway, this is what's going on in Aries. And I would note that there will be a lot of activity in this house because when Neptune and Saturn leave Pisces, they go into Aries. And I will just say that based on all of this astrology, your earning potential is increasing exponentially and is certainly well beyond what you likely to have expected it to be in the past. But you must take action. You must take initiative. You must be the one who is in the essentially the driver's seat of bringing ideas through yourself and into the world in some way. There's nothing automatic about these placements, though there are these rapid transitional events that are going to give you opportunities to do more than you've ever done at certain points when you realize that you are really standing right on a tremendous opportunity. And there are likely to be a series of them, but you will recognize when there's something that is simply too good to turn down. So be brave. Next scene, Taurus. Taurus for you is the third place. These two houses combined are very good for commerce, and they're very good for grounding yourself in your actions. They're very good for holding alignment to live with consistent, but because you're Pisces, malleable principles. And what we get in the third house coming up in the spring, just 12 days after this eclipse event, in Aries, I'm going to add Mercury to this chart because it really belongs there, conjunct Eris like that. Is the third house is the local neighborhood. It's the house of local commerce, and it would be fabulous for agriculture. Things grow out of the earth, and the Taurus is the earth. But the third is also it's the neighborhood, siblings, mercantile activities, and generally your neighborhood. Did I say communication style and thinking style? So we've got commerce, communication, community, bunch of other co things. And what I am seeing with this, first of all, this is a huge event. Now, it only happens every 13 years or so, which in astrology, you know, it's the kind of thing that depending on how long you live is going to happen 5, 6, 7, 8 times in your life if you live to be 100 years old. But it's special every time it happens. And a 13-year event is worth doing something with. It's a kind of a mini jubilee. And this mini jubilee is happening where you are. And it may not seem like it right now. It may not seem like there's a lot of movement and activity, but I would suggest doing everything in your power to essentially colonize your own community. Walk around more, meet more people, even if you don't think you're gonna like them, even if you think it's a bunch of woke ass bullshit artists slugging down $7 cups of coffee at the outdated cafe or the rough draft like that way in that direction, right past Gerald Slenty's place right down there. And they're like, go in and see who's there. I get that the woke problem is a big problem in a lot of communities. I have long ago had to concede to the fact that everyone is cooler than me. Okay, fine, let's take it from there. But Pluto in Aquarius is going to shake up every currently standing social concept in existence, including many of our ideas about digital consciousness and where digital consciousness meets the world and where the world and the internet intersect and all that stuff. You are in one of the best positions to experience this. So And here's a little bit about why that is going into kind of second year astrology studies, is that planets represent signs. Signs line with houses. And the third house, you have this big, big party about to happen in your third house, in your neighborhood. Stay close to home this spring. I suggest not planning any huge trips, but get the benefits of this near where you are. So Jupiter is a ruling planet of Pisces, first of all. So this is saying that whatever happens to Jupiter happens to you. Second, Sagittarius is the house up on, is the sign up on the 10th place of your aspirations, your what you're known for, the actions that you take, the career that you have, the reputation that you possess. And it is coming home to the third place. Okay. That is localizing something that you might normally have to go quite a distance to find. Second, all this, whatever is going on in Aquarius is in part represented by Uranus. Now, I don't think that Uranus represents, rules Aquarius, but it may represent it in some way, like an ambassador. And so the 12th is well, with Aquarius there, it too is associated with community, but this is kind of the playground in your mind, which then you are getting to manifest in physical reality. I'm born with sun and many planets in Pisces. I am going to do my best to work out this exercise that I'm suggesting here that just kind of came to me of envisioning your ideal social and commerce environment. What would be the perfect alignment of community, commerce, and a kind of a communication style approach within all of that? And this all takes place in the third beginning. Well, it's the events are set in motion on the 8th of April by this eclipse. And then just 12 days later, Jupiter conjoins Uranus. Jupiter, by the way, currently conjunct 1992 QB1 Albion, first planet ever discovered beyond Pluto. And what that is suggesting is that the lure to new experience is not going to be like walking into a rave. I mean, it could be, but the chances are it's not going to be something so dramatic and like, holy shit, I'm in a whole new reality. It's more likely to be a subtle calling, a sussing out, a quiet investigation of and following intuitive lures and leads, and be there. Maybe stay home this weekend, maybe walk around, maybe poke around, see what's going on there. Maybe Google the events calendar for your area, see if there's something that you don't know about. With every community, no matter how podunk it is, there's always things going on you don't know about. Well, find out. Okay, here we move into the next little time zone, the next little kind of environment in your chart. These houses all represent different environments. They all are associated with places, feelings, and activities. If you understand the places, feelings, and activities that are associated with a house, and you can bring together the confluence of events, which can seem wildly disparate for a house, then you realize they've got something in common. You're understanding what that house is about. So the fourth place is home space. It's another interior space. This is kind of like the shop connected to the home. And this is the home. And then this is the art studio connected to the home. And this is like the home office. And then we get up to the upper hemisphere, and there's like things start to expand widely, and suddenly like there's church and there's the corporate office and so forth. There's Madison Square Garden. So the fourth is one's home and one's sense of security. It's one's sense of grounding. To have Gemini here tells you that you prefer to have two such spaces. Maybe you can't afford it. Maybe you found out a way to get around not affording it. Maybe you can't afford it. And maybe you do have two homes or two apartments or a studio and an apartment or an office and a house. Or a second building on your property. Steinbeck of Pisces had he had there was a little cottage on his property in Sag Harbor that was exclusively for writing. So he could sequester himself, and it was like 100 feet across the lawn with a beautiful view of the water and just enough room for himself, a typewriter, and probably a six pack of beer. So work with a dual environment thing. But there are changes coming to the whole concept of your home environment, represented first of all by Sedna arriving in Gemini. That I believe, I'm not sure what day that is, but we're all looking at May or June, basically, Sedna, and maybe April. Tracy's got it up on the website, the day that Sedna arrives. But the important thing is that in May, there's this combination of Jupiter conjunct Sedna. Jupiter enters Gemini. Let's go to the program. This computer is too new. It's a Mac Pro. It's too new to run IO cycles, time cycles. Window events, positions, Jupiter. Enters Gemini 0000. Okay, would have normally taken 15 minutes to figure out. Maybe not. May 25th, Jupiter enters Gemini. Sedna already arrived. So Sedna is the longest, furthest, slowest thing in all of astrology. It takes 11,400 years to go around the zodiac. 11,400 years to go around our sun. That means that the last time that Jupiter was in Gemini, humans were just inventing little villages. This is coming out of the glacial era, coming out of the hunting-gathering era, which lasted for millions of years, where the glaciers were not. Humans start to very rapidly change, grow, and evolve. And this partly happens through the formation of towns big enough where the people didn't all know one another. For its part, Jupiter coming through the fourth house is about an expansion or improvement of your living conditions in some way. And if you have an opportunity to expand or improve your living conditions, now is a great time to do it. Now is a time to find yourself in a better place all the way around. Now, the point of there are a lot of things that are just going to seem to happen, because the eclipse will have that feeling. It will have a kind of a faded quality. And there's likely to be a tremendous shift in something around your financial resource life around the time of that eclipse and in the months following it, followed by immediately by another similar development with Jupiter conjunct Uranus in your third house. If you are selling something, start the refinements, get your sample bag together now and get out there and learn again how to sell it, and try to sell it on your street, then on the next street, and then in the next neighborhood. Work the local community angle of this. But all of this is really just a pulling into focus of who you are. We could sum all of this up by the combination of Pluto going into your 12th, which is going to just help you differentiate yourself from this morass of tribal and group consciousness going on, and Saturn in your sign, Saturn being the ruler of the 12th house, kind of a delegate out of the 12th house, and out of the 11th, because the rules Capricorn and Aquarius, saying, all right, now it's time to pull focus on your life. Now it's time to get clear on all these things you weren't clear with, and to fully embrace the idea that your words, choices, and thoughts and decisions have results. And those results are sometimes called consequences, and sometimes they're called success, and sometimes they're called growth. But in the end, it's all that your choices matter, and your choices are going to be based on your clarity or lack thereof. And one of my very favorite expressions from A Course in Miracles is, every decision you make stems from what you think you are. And everything going on in your chart right now is opening up the question of what you think you are in five different ways, from five different angles, in many different languages, with many possible modes of expression. You have the basis for the question, what am I, which will lead very naturally into every decision you make stems from what you think you are. Okay, that's most of what I have to say. I look forward to meeting up with you somewhere around the zodiac in one of the different signs. Thanks for joining me. Lots of love, and bye for now.